stand to get the blood to circulate a little bit so you don't get the tinglies down in the feet. Proverbs 25, 26. I want to talk to you tonight about solving problems, not creating them. How does that sound? How many have said, Pastor, I have created my own share of problems in my lifetime? Let me just see your hand, okay? Very good. And some of you that haven't, you're perfect, and we're going to learn from your life. And, I'm just kidding. Proverbs 25, the Bible says in verse 26, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey. We've read this verse before, but I'm going to speak on it anyway. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without, what's the last word? Walls. Father, we do love you and we thank you for the eternal word of God. Lord, all of heaven, all of earth, and all of us will pass away, but thy word will endure forever. It has been settled in heaven and forever. You have preserved it on this earth for us forever. And God, I pray that as we read it, that you would hide it in our heart, that we would take it and hide it and apply it in our life. Father, I pray that you would help me to be a help tonight. I need you. I need your help. Please help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain so that I can be filled with your spirit. I pray that you use me to preach your message to us, your church. Lord, I pray that as we study the word of God, that we would be prepared for the next effective moment, whether that be tonight or tomorrow or the next day. I pray that you'll be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The world is full of problems without Christians adding any. We don't need to add any more problems. In fact, if there's anything that Christians need to add to the world, it's love. It's some peace. It's some joy. Our verses tonight are very insightful as to three very real problems that can have a negative effect on the lives around them. As children of light and people of the way of Jesus Christ, our responsibility is to show Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. How many believe that? Okay. We're supposed to be pointing people to the one who can solve the problems, not creating more by our lack of wisdom, by our lack of diligence, by our lack of faithfulness, whatever. So briefly tonight, I want us to look at what our text addresses as I see three specific problems that Christians can actually create in the world around us. And I think you'll understand what I mean by that. The Bible says in verse 26, it speaks about the problem of falling Christians. In verse 26, it's always a very hurtful verse to me, a very wounding verse when I meditate on it. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. We all know the names of the Christians of days gone by who have fallen because of indulgence to sin. Every Christian has a target on them put by Satan, and he loves it when high-profile Christians and low-profile Christians fall into sin. That's why Paul challenged Timothy in his weakened and discouraged state, because he knew what was at stake. He said, listen, here's a young man who's discouraged. He has health problems. He's got problems in the church. And if I don't do this, if God's grace doesn't become sufficient, if he doesn't wake up here, there's something bigger at stake. There's a church that's following him. There are people that are looking at him, and I don't want him to go by the wayside. Because if a righteous man falls before the wicked, it's a troubled fountain or a corrupt spring. I want you to see this challenge to study the Word of God with me. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we see why Timothy is being so challenged by Paul. Why is Paul dumping so much into Timothy? Because one life lived for God does really affect the lives around it. You may think otherwise. You may think, oh, it's not that big of a deal. We're hearing about this. To God, it's a big deal. In fact, to God, every time the Word of God is opened, it's a big deal. And when someone is going to take that into their life and then go out in the public and squander it because they don't have control of their mouth, or they squander it because they don't have control of their body, then what happens? It affects everybody around them. So Paul, listen, look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Now watch, if you're not careful, you kind of say, well, that's a pretty big order, don't you think? I mean, shouldn't he be a little more lenient? No, because he's a Christian, and Christians are supposed to be examples. Say amen. That's the reality of it. So he's not bestowing anything upon Timothy that's unfair or that's improperly laden. He's saying, listen, you're an example. Notice what it says in verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading and exhortation and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Watch this, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself under the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, you could argue just for a moment that that would be the antithesis of verse 26 in Proverbs 25. That is, in Proverbs 25, verse 26, you have somebody who's doing right, who falls to sin and infects somebody. And then in 1 Timothy 4, you have someone who's staying right and it affects somebody. Both are effective. One is for the positive, one is for the negative. The Bible uses in our passage very expressive language about the corruption and the trouble of a stream to describe the problem of fallen Christians. You see, when a thirsty traveler comes to a stream, he seeks to quench his thirst. He's looking for that cool refreshment for his thirst. When he finds it corrupt, what happens? It causes him great grief. He has an expectation, and his expectation is dashed because he realized that one thing that I need to be pure, that one thing that I need to not be troubled is, so I can't partake in it. I will not partake in it, and so that he cannot drink. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, turn there if you will, since you already have your Bibles open. And I want to give you one more passage of Scripture, then we're going to hit these 3 points and go on. Now we're talking about the righteous man, the Christian, the person who was living right, falling before the wicked. That is the unsaved, the person who doesn't know God personally, but apparently knows the one falling and the effect that it has. In 2 Samuel 1 in verse 17, here's why it is imperative for us to maintain a good name, not for ourselves, but for the Lord. Amen? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And it's not talking about, well, that people think highly of me. I don't serve me. I serve a risen Savior. And I want people to look at him. Now, 2 Samuel 1:17, David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. Watch this, verse 19. The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Watch what he says. Tell it not to Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields for offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. Notice what it says. Tell it not to Gath. Publish it not to Ascalon. Don't let the Philistines know what happened. Why? Because they'll take occasion against God. Now watch this. Here's what happens with the problem